Good evening, brothers and sisters in Christ. This evening, I thought that we should meditate on a very wonderful verse taken from Psalm 27, verse 1. And there the psalmist asks two very telling questions. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, fear is one of the most common human experiences. It often enters quietly into our thoughts, and yet echoes loudly in our hearts. It can paralyze us, cloud our judgment, steal our joy, and rob us of peace. We all fear bad news, uncertain future, and also unseen dangers. And fear is not imaginary. It is very real. Think of the patient waiting anxiously for a crucial medical test result. All the students staring at an exam paper, not knowing how to answer the questions. All the workers lying awake at night fearing the loss of his job. And in moments like this, when danger feels close and certainty feels distant, the psalmist in Psalm 27 does not deny the reality of fear. Instead, he confronts it with two piercing questions. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, Psalm 27 is attributed to David. Though there's no specific historical event that is mentioned, if you read the whole psalm, his tone clearly reflects many seasons of danger in his life, times of opposition, betrayal, and uncertainty. As a young man, David was hunted relentlessly by King Saul. Later as king, he endured the heartbreak of his own son, Absalom's rebellion. And David knew what it meant to live under constant threat. Yet it is striking that some of the scripture's most comforting psalms were not written in comfort, but in crisis. And Psalm 27 is one of them. It is not the song of a man untouched by fear, but the testimony of a man who learned to trust God in the presence of fear. If you read Psalm 27, the psalm naturally divides into two sections. From verses 1 to 6, David declares his faith in God, even while enemies surround him. And from verses 7 to 14, David turns to earnest prayer, crying out for God's mercy and also his presence. But our focus tonight is on verse 1, because we really only have time to meditate on one verse. So I have chosen Psalm 27, verse 1. And verse 1 reads, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" I want you to notice where David begins. He does not begin with his enemies. He does not rehearse his problems. He begins with God. Before fear is addressed, God is confessed. And in this single verse, David gives us three anchors for overcoming fear. God is his light, God is his salvation, and God is his stronghold, because the Lord guides, delivers, and defends him. Fear loses its grip. Now, first of all, the Lord is my strength, or rather, the Lord is my light. Now, darkness naturally breeds a fear when we cannot see clearly. Uncertainty grows. Just imagine walking alone at night through an unfamiliar area or a dark alley. You know, every sound feels threatening, every shadow suspicious. But the moment a light is turned on, fear begins to recede. Light brings clarity, direction, and confidence. And David declares, "The Lord is my light." Now, this is deeply personal and also comforting. David does not say, "The Lord gives me light," but "The Lord is my light." God does not merely show the way, He is the way, and His very presence dispels darkness. And the children of Israel experience this truth in the wilderness. We are told in Exodus chapter 13 how the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. The children of Israel had no map, no compass, no idea what lay ahead, but God went before them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, God did not give the children of Israel a detailed map of the entire journey. He gave them His presence. The pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire did not reveal the whole route, only the next step. And so it is with us. Many of our fears arise from not knowing what lies ahead. And we want God to show us the entire picture, every answer, every outcome. But God usually gives light for today, not certainty for tomorrow. You remember the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." A lamp illuminates the next step, not the entire road. You know, think of driving at night in heavy rain. For some of you who had that personal experience, driving in heavy snow, you know, your car headlights don't show miles ahead, but they show enough to keep you moving safely. And that is how God guides His people. I know we often pray, "God shows me everything." But you know the Lord responds, "Trust me for the next step." And so when facing decisions, be it career choices, health concerns, or struggles that we have personally or at home, God may not reveal the full picture, but He gives enough light for today. And when the Lord is our light, we can move forward, even when the future is a bit foggy. Because the Bible tells us, as believers, we walk by faith, not by sight. And so when the Lord is our light, we need not fear the unknown, but it is important that we stay very close to Him. And so the question is this: are we allowing His word and His presence to guide us daily, or do we stumble in the shadows of fear and doubt? Secondly, David confessed, "The Lord is my salvation." Now, the word salvation speaks of deliverance, rescue, and also help in time of need. And David says, "The Lord is my salvation." This is not some abstract theology. It was his personal experience and also his heartfelt testimony. Because David has seen how God rescued him again and again, from facing Goliath, to fleeing King Saul, to surviving Absalom's rebellion. And David learned one important truth: salvation does not come from human strength, but from God's power. You remember standing before Goliath, David did not deny the danger. He simply trusted a greater deliverance. And so he challenged the giant, "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." Now for us, this statement, "The Lord is my salvation," finds its fullest meaning in Christ, because through Christ, we have been delivered from sin, from judgment, and eternal death. And that settles really our greatest fear. And if God has settled our greatest fear, what else finally remains to terrify us? And so the Apostle Paul is able to ask this question: if God be for us, who can be against us? And that means no one. You see, salvation is not only eternal or future, but it is also present. Because God delivers. God saves us in our daily struggles. How? Sometimes he changes our circumstances, but most of the time, he gives us sustaining grace. Perhaps you have known a brother or sister who is facing a serious illness or who is going through a crisis in his life. You know, the condition or circumstance did not immediately change, but his fear did. He or she could testify, you know, I still don't know the outcome, but I know the Lord is my salvation because he is in control of my situation. Now, the children of Israel, they were trapped. Mountains on both sides, Pharaoh's army behind, and the Red Sea in front. And so there was no way out. But Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Likewise, we all must learn to stand still and not panic in fear and to see the salvation of the Lord. And so when fear whispers, you know, you are not strong enough, our faith must respond. The Lord is my salvation and God can deliver me. The danger may still exist, but the presence of a deliverer changes everything. If God has saved your soul for eternity, can you not trust him with your situation today? And so let us learn to bring our fears to God in prayer, not because the threat is gone, but because our deliverer is present. He is our salvation now and also forever. Finally, David confessed, the Lord is my strength. God defends me. Now, the word strength carries the idea of a stronghold or fortress. In David's day, a fortress meant thick walls, high ground, and of course, protection from enemies. And David is saying, the Lord himself is my place of safety. David knew his safety did not rest in armies, in weapons, or his status, but in God alone. And so the psalmist declares, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. Now I like to think of a fortress. A fortress during a storm. You know, the storm still rages outside, but those inside the fortress are safe. The fortress does not stop the storm. It shelters from it. Likewise, God does not promise storm-free lives, but he does promise secure refuge. And this is vividly illustrated, you remember, in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus calmed the storm. Our Lord slept because he ruled or he controlled the storm. The disciples panicked because they focused on the waves. Now, the presence of the Lord did not prevent the storm, but it guaranteed their safety. The disciples forgot the Lord's instruction because the Lord said earlier that he will meet them, that they will go over to the other side. In other words, they will reach the other side safely. And fear grows when we stare at the waves. Faith grows when we fix our eyes on the Lord and remember his promises. And so whatever storm you face, always remember, God is my strength. God is my fortress. And his presence guarantees safety even if the storm continues. And God does not remove us from danger, but he keeps danger from destroying us. You remember Daniel? Daniel was not spared the trial. He was spared in the trial. The lions were real. The danger was real. But God was more real. And so Daniel was able to testify, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. that they have not heard me. And so David asks these two questions. Whom should I fear? Of whom should I be afraid? The answer is very clear. No one. Because David knows these three truths. When God is your light, you may not see far, but you can still walk safely. When God is your salvation, you may still face danger, but you are never abandoned. When God is your stronghold or your strength, the storm may rage, but it cannot destroy you. And so tonight, whatever fears you carry into this prayer meeting, bring it to the Lord, seek His presence, trust His word, and also rest in His strength. And when the Lord is truly your light, your salvation, and your strength, fear no longer rules the heart. And so remember this wonderful promise whenever you are frightened or fearful. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let us look to God in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this wonderful verse that reminds us that the Lord is our light, our salvation, and our strength. And Father, tonight as we come before Thee, we come with all our fears and weaknesses, knowing that, Lord, You are with us. You hear us, and You will deliver us. And Father, in whatever situation that we may face, particularly in a Red Sea situation, help us, Lord, to remember to stand still, to rest in You, and to see Your salvation. We thank Thee, Lord, for this prayer meeting, that we can come before Your presence to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. And so we ask, Lord, that You will be with us, hear our prayers, and help us, Lord, that we may always remember this wonderful promise, so that we will no longer fear what we may confront, but trust in our deliverer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.